Because Christ lives, we too shall live forever through faith in him. Amen. The word of God we want to consider today is our scripture lesson from this past Sunday from the book of Acts, not an Old Testament reading, but a scripture lesson looking at the history of the early Christian church from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 20, the scripture lesson for the third Sunday of Easter. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. My dear friends in Christ, the book of Acts first mentions Saul in connection with the stoning of Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr to die for Christ after Christ had ascended into heaven. First one to die for standing up for Jesus. Saul wasn't a stone thrower. He was someone who was watching the garments of those who were casting the stones, who were lynching Saul. But from then on, we hear about Saul, how he became more and more active in persecuting the church of God, in attacking the followers of Christ. Luke tells us, "But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison." As a result of Saul's persecution, what happened is that the believers were scattered, but that didn't satisfy Saul. He was determined to destroy the church of God everywhere, and he was like a madman, a man possessed. Our reading, it says, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And so he went to the high priest to get credentials so that he could go to Damascus to find Christians there and bring them back to be charged with being Christians and be, well, probably killed or whatever for their faith in Jesus. He went to Damascus. It was a city about 150 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Damascus was a city that had a large Jewish population, and thus it'd be a natural place for Jews to flee if they were being persecuted, to seek refuge there. Saul planned to go there to the synagogues because it only made sense that their Jewish followers of Jesus would go to the synagogues to worship. But now, how could Saul be so hateful of followers of Christ? What had they done to him? They hadn't egged him on or anything. Rather, Saul did that because that was his natural condition, his natural state. Later in life, Saul, as the Apostle Paul would write to the Roman Christians, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature." And he also wrote, "The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." And to the Ephesian Christians, he'd write, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." The only thing that Saul could be apart from Christ was an enemy of God. He had been apart from God, and it was his natural state to fight against God with his entire being. And what we need to recognize is that likewise, that's also our natural state as well. Our natural state is that we were apart from God before we were called to faith. And it was our natural condition to fight against God with our entire being. Like Saul, we were enemies of God. Many years ago in Waterbury, Connecticut, a pastor wanted to emphasize the truth that all men are dead in their trespasses and sins. The pastor's congregation was shocked one Sunday morning when they came to church and found a casket that was covered with flowers right there in front of the pulpit. They were even more amazed and even terrified when the pastor graphically described to them hell with all of its horrors. And he talked about hell and the darkness, the isolation, the pain and the remorse that would be experienced by all those who were suffering there in hell, separated from God. And some of the people in the congregation began to weep and to tremble. The preacher then told them that he found it impossible to eulogize the person who was the dead person because he had committed such grievous sins that he only deserved God's wrath, eternal wrath and punishment. He told the congregation, "The one you will soon view is justly condemned to eternal torment. At the end of his message that day, the flowers were taken off of the coffin and the congregation was asked to walk past the casket, but they were supposed to keep about 10 feet between them. And they were to look at that horrible sinner that was in the casket and then return to their seats in silence. Each person fearfully looked into the casket and found it empty. However, a full-length mirror in the bottom of the casket reflected the image, the face of the person who was staring into the casket in amazement." Now see, it's easy for a person to look at someone like Saul, the persecutor of Christians, who probably was responsible for the deaths of who knows how many Christians, for persecuting so many Christians, making their lives terrible. But it's not so easy for us to say that, like Saul, we were enemies of God. But we were. Like Saul, we were enemies of God. We have to join Saul in saying, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. We deserved the full extent of God's wrath, because by nature, all we could do is fight against God. But even though, like Saul, we were enemies of God, that didn't cause God to turn his back on us. Even though we were God's enemies, God sent his Son to live and to die for us anyway, so that you and I could be believing children of God that we are right now by the grace of God. God makes us who were enemies of God to be friends forever with him in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for not giving up on us who were your enemies, but for sending us your Son to live and die and rise from the dead for us so that we could be your friends forever in heaven with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.